Welcome to the View Church Tailview podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives. If you have a testimony which you would like to share with us, please email us at info@viewchurch.co.za. We would love to hear from you. Or if you would like to contribute towards the ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving. You're listening to a message from Andre Grief.
Tonight, I really have a big message. I can't contain it really. I'm going to get straight into it. But as we were worshiping, I actually got a picture of a stadium. And what God laid in my heart is that I believe I'm preaching to a stadium. There's a stadium caught up in some people tonight. There's a stadium worth of people that need to be reached. And I believe it's in this room tonight. I really do. It's not just lip service. I believe there's a stadium-sized group of people planted in the hearts of the people that are here tonight. And if you would obey the call of God, if you would put along the sides of your own dreams, your own agendas, and say, God, whatever it takes, what does it look like? Don't bless my will, show me your will. I believe that as brave people step out tonight in this house, in this room, in this moment, I believe there's a stadium-sized blessing that we can reach our city for. And I really believe that from the top of my head to the soles of my feet to the depths of my heart, that God gave me this clear picture in worship that we're going to be preaching to a stadium-sized group of people tonight. And for those who would hear the word of God, follow the word of God, God has a massive blessing to follow. And so tonight I'm really setting the backdrop of an amazing series that we're kicking off in 2 weeks. It's called Empowered. Sometime last year, God laid the series on our senior pastor's heart, Graham Evans. And Graham's been putting the series together and we've been praying about it. So for 4 weeks, in the next 2 weeks' time, in 4 weeks, we're going to be preaching about Empowered, the power of God. And we believe for a month, we're going to see miracle after miracle after miracle. We believe we're going to see miracles in your families. We're going to see physical healings. We're going to see miracles in your business. We're going to see miracles in our community because we're preaching about the power of God. You can't talk about God's power and not see his provision. So we are preparing tonight to see what God's going to do in a couple weeks' time. And I'm just so excited about what God has to say in his word. And so tonight we're just setting the context for where the miracles will take place. And the only place a miracle can take place is in the presence of God. Now, God's presence doesn't reside in four walls. It resides in your life. You are now a carrier of the presence of God. And so wherever you are, there he is. Jesus taught us how to pray a crazy prayer. I learned it in the old school version, the King James version. It says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come," say it with me now, "thy will be done on as it is in." What a crazy prayer. The craziest prayer. Do you know what it's like in heaven? Do you know what it's like in heaven? There's no tears in heaven. There's no suffering in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. There's no deceit in heaven. There's no corruption in heaven. There's no heartache in heaven. There's no robbing in heaven. There's no mistrust in heaven. Heaven is the fullness of God's provision, the fullness of God's presence. And Jesus said, "I want you to pray this way. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven." And the only way we can pray that with full confidence is when we don't rely on ourselves, but we rely on the Holy Spirit that lives within us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives within you and me if Jesus is your Lord and Savior. That's why I can say, "Lord, let it be on earth as it is in heaven." Because you might not be in heaven right now, but because of the Holy Spirit, heaven is in you. And you can confess and declare, "No more suffering, no more disease, no more poverty, no more lack, no more depression, no more anxiety." And with the full confidence of God, with all of heaven behind your prayer, you can understand, because the Holy Spirit is within you, that you can believe God for a miracle. Are you with me tonight? You know what? My voice in this microphone is carried because of the amplifiers. And you hear my words because of my voice. But you only hear his word because of his spirit. So it falls in your ears because I'm speaking in the natural. But it falls in your heart because he's speaking in the supernatural. But if your heart is closed tonight, it may fall on your natural ears, but you need to open up your spiritual mind, your spiritual eyes, your spiritual ears tonight. Because this message isn't for the natural. This message isn't just so that you can feel better, look better, and be better. This message is to change you. He doesn't take bad people and make them good. He makes dead people alive. But we need to set this up. We need to set this up tonight. You know, the most offensive thing you can do is actually ignore someone who's present. Isn't that true? Don't you hate that? Where you've arrived at someone's house and you're very expecting to connect with them, but they're always interested in something else. Have you ever been to a friend's house like that and there's a whole bunch of other friends? When it's just you and him, then it's like cool, and you're like, high five, high five. But then there's some other cool guys that come around and you thought, "Oh, I thought we were tight," but now he's just paying attention to me, I'm the only one. Imagine what the Holy Spirit feels like. when he's the one who ushered everything into motion, yet he's the one that's often ignored, the most lonely person in the church, the one that isn't acknowledged. We see the Father, we see the Son, but we ignore the Holy Spirit. And it says that we can offend him, but we can also please him. And so tonight, I just want to set this up in our hearts and minds where we are open to receive everything that God has for us. And I sense that there's some people that are in circumstances tonight that are insurmountable in the natural. You can't move forward, you can't move up, and you're not breaking free. And the Bible and the Lord would say to you, it's not by strength, nor by might, but by my Spirit, declares the Lord of heaven's armies. It's by His Spirit that you'll move what you're in tonight. So I just want to ask you in this moment, not to just hear me pray. I want to ask you to pray for yourself. Say, Lord, I hear the words in the natural, but now I want to hear the words in the super. I hear the words from His voice, but I want to hear Your word in my heart tonight. My eyes are open, my ears are open, my heart is receptive to everything You want. So come on, let's pray. Don't just listen to me pray, speak to Jesus tonight. Say, Lord, maybe you're far from God. Just say, Lord, if You're real, speak to me tonight. Show me, fill me, reveal to me. So in Jesus' name, Lord, we acknowledge Your presence in this place. You are welcome in this place. This is Your church. It's never been about us. It'll never be about us. It's always been about You. And so in this place, You have full carte blanche. You've got full authority in this place to do what You want to do. We want to say, have Your way in our lives. We're not asking You to bless our plans. We're not asking You to bless our paths or our purposes. We're asking You to show us Your plans. Show us Your paths. Show us Your purposes. And as You speak, God, we are saying to all the world, we're listening. We're going to hear, we're going to follow, we're going to do, we're going to apply. Our minds are receptive and our hearts are open to Your word that declares that it shall never return empty, never come back void, but accomplish every task for which it is sent, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's an interesting scripture in the 14th chapter of the book of John. Thank you, where to? In the 14th chapter of the book of John. Next level. He was just in the spirit right there. He didn't even know. It's awesome. 14th chapter of the book of John, from 12 to 14, amazing scripture, a great scripture that I want to encourage you to write down somewhere in your home, somewhere on your phone, because this encourages me to believe for greater and better. It says, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So the truth is telling you, I tell you the truth. The truth says, I tell you the truth. Everyone say anyone. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, multiplying the bread and the fish, and doing all these awesome things. Anyone who believes in me will do what I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to the Father. I'm able to do greater works, Jesus says, because He went to the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it according to His will, so that the Son can bring glory to myself. No, so that the Son can bring glory to God. Did you know that when God answers your prayers, when Jesus answers your prayers, it's not just for your blessing, it's for God's glory. That's the whole deal. It's actually always for the glory of God. I am blessed to be a blessing, but it's actually for God's glory. So when He comes through for me, I'm saying thank You that God receives all the glory. When He blesses me, God be the glory. You know, I was talking to someone today that was in my high school years ago. It was about 12 years ago. Anyway, years ago, and he asked me the question. He said, Dino, how'd you get it all together? You didn't seem like you had it all together in high school. I said, if you know me now, I still don't have it all together. But you know what? I just kept on saying, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. When He answered my prayers, glory to God. When He came through for me, glory to God. It's not about how good Dino is, it's about how good God is. Kept on saying, glory to God. I don't know anything else to say. I'm not that smart. All I know is that God is good all the time, and all the time God is. And it says that for the Son bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. This is a promise from God. The Bible says that His word shall not return void, never come back empty. The truth says, I tell you the truth. That means it's no lie. Amen? You believe this? Do you believe you can do what Jesus has done and greater things? That is the promise. But God will never give you a promise without the means or the power to fulfill the promise. We're going to go to the next part. We're going to go to verse 15. To 17, it says, if you love me, obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. Say amen. Amen. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you know Him because He lives with you now and later will be in you. Everyone say in you. You see, this is a perfect example of the Old and New Testament. He will be with you in the Old Testament, but now in the New Testament, he lives in you. And so he says, he will send an advocate. So the promise is you'll do greater things. But the means to fulfill the promise is the advocate, the Holy Spirit. Are you with me tonight? So what we try to do, sometimes we get confused, is we try and hold on to the greater things, but we use the old covenant to fulfill the new covenant promise. We're trying to fulfill it with works, but it says that's when he's with you. The old covenant, in the Old Testament, God was with them, but now in the New Testament, the new covenant, God is in them. That's why the presence of God goes wherever you go. He no longer resides in the temple, not longer behind the veil. It says when Jesus died, he tore the veil so that we don't only step into his presence now steps into us. That's why we can believe with all confidence, I can do greater things because now he is in me and the Holy Spirit is my advocate. Are you with me tonight? You see, you can go to heaven but not fulfill your purpose on earth if you don't have the Holy Spirit. He says, that the Bible says the Holy Spirit goes up to the Father, finds out what's on the Father's heart and brings it down to earth. The whole purpose for you being here is doing the will of the Father. But if you don't know his will by the Spirit, you won't accomplish what he has for your life. You'll go to heaven, but you won't fulfill your destiny on earth. How many people want to fulfill their destiny on earth? Raise your hand. If you want to do everything God wants you to do and greater, then I want to encourage you. I want to implore you. In a couple moments' time, we're going to ask God to fill me from head to toe with all of heaven's presence, with all of heaven's promises, with all of heaven's purposes, because there's an advocate Jesus said is better that I go, that he come on my behalf. He's not just with me, Old Testament. He's in me, New Covenant. And so he says, you will do greater things than these. But did you know the Holy Spirit is not an it? It's a he. He is a him. It's not great grammar, but it's good preaching. The world is an it. That last scripture says, it does not recognize him. The Bible calls the world an it, but the world tries to become a he. So the world wants you to be personal with the world as an it, but it's an inanimate object and tries to make God the he an it. Are you with me? So it is out there, but I, the world, he, I am a person, relate to me, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible calls the world it and calls the Holy Spirit he. He is personal. He is a person. And I don't know about you, but in any relationship, you can bless someone, but you can also offend someone. It says the world does not recognize him, but I actually think it's not only the world that he was talking to in that scripture. I think the church, it says, it doesn't recognize him because they're not looking for him. And when he comes, they don't recognize who he is. So many times in the church, in a service, we don't look for the opportunity of the Holy Spirit moving. We don't look for it, so we don't recognize it. You'll find what you're looking for. In a desert, the vulture finds death, but also in the same desert, the honey bird finds life. You'll find what you're looking for tonight. If you're looking for a touch from heaven, you'll find that. If you're looking for another excuse as why you need to stay here on earth, you'll find that too. But the Bible says, those who ask shall receive. He is a good father. So tonight, if you're saying, I want everything that God wants for me and get downloaded from an open heaven, he says, I'm a good father that will give you a good gift. Ask of the Holy Spirit and I'll pour him lavishly out in your life. Tonight is a significant night, I believe, for many people as we all throw down what we've been carrying and pick up what he wants to lay down. And so you can offend the Holy Spirit. But then I found this amazing scripture. I just love the word of God. It's so good. I found this amazing scripture that taught me the condition of my life, the condition of my mind, and the condition of my heart that is conducive to the Holy Spirit being poured out on it. I'm going to give you the secret tonight. This is the good stuff. I mean, this is stuff like the crypt notes that you don't share with your other friends. You know what I mean? Like, this is the good stuff right here. I'm about to teach you on how to keep yourself in a posture where the Holy Spirit is always pouring out. Because you know he's always pouring out, hey? It's just us who aren't open to receiving. He's always pouring his Spirit out. He's always talking to you. He's always wanting to bless you. He's always wanting to lead you. We're just not listening. We're just not recognizing. We're just not following. And the truth is, we're not looking. But tonight, I believe from the scripture, if you would take this applied to your life, the Bible says he'll pour out his Spirit on you lavishly. It's the 44th chapter. Sorry, I need some water. When I don't have water, what accent was that? Chapter. Sorry, didn't mean to offend you, Andre. The Bible says this, Isaiah 44:3. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. What Isaiah was trying to illustrate here was the condition in which the Spirit of God gets poured out. It gets poured out on dry land and on thirsty ground. It's on thirsty land and dry ground. When you keep yourself dry, when you keep yourself thirsty, that's when the Spirit comes out and gets poured out in your life. When you say that I'm full and you think that you have a harvest outside the presence of God, there's no room for God to pour out His presence on your life. But it says, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and blessings on your descendants. When we come to church, every morning when I wake up, this is my prayer. I say, God, without you, I'm thirsty. Without you, I am dry. Won't you pour your spirit out to me to be a better husband today, to be a better employee today, to be a better Christian today, to be a better follower today. I don't want to be better than anyone else. Holy Spirit, make me better than me. I want to be more like Him. And I declare unequivocally, God, I am dry without you. I am barren without you. I have no harvest without you. I have no provision without you. I have no anointing without you. I have no power without you. There's nothing good in Dino. There's only good in God. Won't you pour your spirit out on me? I am desperate. And He says, when you have that type of condition, where your heart is desperate all the time, He says, I pour out my spirit lavishly, not only on you, but on your descendants. So when I think of the scripture, I don't think about myself only, I think about my kids and my children's children, because I want them to be blessed too. So I stay in a dry place and saying, God, I never want to feel like I'm in a full place when I'm in your presence. Every single day I want to declare to you, I am dry for you to pour out your spirit. That makes sense? You see, in a dry place, there are no wants, there's only needs. In a desert, you don't have wants, you have only needs. And so I believe sometimes we go into a desert so God can actually bring out your needs and put aside your wants. Because you go through every single day and you'll have a whole bunch of wants and desires, but you need to go through a tough time to actually find out what you truly need, hey? And sometimes we need to go through some tough times so God can rise up the need and drop down the wants. And we ask God, what's He doing? But the truth is, He's conditioning your heart to be a thirsty land and a dry ground so He can pour out His Spirit. And tonight, I know that there are people here that feel like they're in an insurmountable situation where you can't get out, you can't move up, you can't move forward, you can't break free. But I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, as you say, I am dry ground, it's the perfect condition for His Spirit to be poured out on your life. And you're saying, God, have your way, don't bless my way. Are you with me tonight, church? It says, I'll pour my spirit out on you and your descendants. So what we're going to do in a couple moments' time is we're going to continue to worship God. And we're going to leave it for a while. And I want you to talk to Jesus and just have your own way with God. You know, I can speak from the Word of God, but that's secondhand revelation. Now, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, who did the snake speak to? He didn't speak to Adam. He spoke to Eve. Because Adam told Eve the revelation. The devil always attacks secondhand revelation. What did he say? Did God really say that? I don't know. God didn't talk to me. God spoke to Adam. So when you leave this place, you feel full of the power of God. And when you step into Monday, the dirty devil, the deceiver, that's what he's called. He can only tell lies. He cannot tell the truth. Says, did God really tell that to you? Did He really say that to you? I don't know, because I didn't seek Him for myself. I just heard Dino preach from the stage. It's secondhand revelation. But tonight, I don't believe that God wants you to have a secondhand revelation. I believe He wants you to have a firsthand encounter. I believe He wants to meet you, not just having an encounter, you know, via. I believe He wants to have a first-hand encounter with His children tonight. For those who would open up the doors, God says, here, I'm knocking. Those who will let me in, I will be with them and they will be with me. For those who will say, I'm dry ground, God says, I'll pour out my spirit. And not only on you, but on your descendants. You won't only do what I've done, but you'll do greater things, because I'm sending the advocate to not just be with you, but to be in you. Tonight, we're setting up the context for the miraculous to take place, because you might not be in heaven, but heaven will live inside of you. He says He gives you every spiritual gift. You have everything you need when the Holy Spirit fills you from head to toe. Now, if you're a Christian, Jesus says that He gives you the breath of life. That's salvation. But there was a second part where, so the breath of life goes in you, but the Holy Spirit comes upon you for others. There's three groups of people that we're going to pray for in a moment's time, and the worship team can come up. There's three groups of people. The first group of people that you still need to receive the breath of life, salvation, through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit draws you to salvation. The second group of people that I'm going to pray for is that you want a touch from heaven, the Holy Spirit to come upon you to empower you for ministry, to empower you to be a better husband, to empower you to do everything God's called you to do. And the third group of people that I'm going to pray for is actually an anointing. An anointing that we see throughout the Bible. We see that God anointed Joshua with wisdom and leadership. We see that God anointed anointed this lady named Bezalel, I think that's how you pronounce it, with artistic flair to build the temple of God. He anointed many people in the Bible to create resource and providence. So what I'm trying to say is that tonight we're going to trust God for salvation, we're going to trust God for baptism, and we're going to trust God for an anointing. An anointing to be a better husband, a better wife, a better scholar, a better son, a better daughter, a better businessman. It's all in the Word of God. He's done it before, He'll do it again. But I don't want you to receive this secondhand. I want you now for a couple moments' time, for wherever your walk is with God, the best place to worship God, the Bible says, in spirit and in truth. In spirit says, Lord, I understand that you made me. I'm now made in your image. You know, the Word of God is literally, it says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all of God's Word is God-breathed. The word Holy Spirit means pneuma or ruach, which is the breath of God. So God's word is God's breath in written form. Did you know that you're made in the image of God, that He spoke you into being? That God's word is His breath in written form, but you are God's word in physical form because you're made in His image? Tonight, that's how you worship in spirit. I understand you made me, God. That's how I connect with you here. But it also says worship Him in truth, doesn't it? You know what it is? It's all it is an honest place. Just saying, God, honestly, this is where I'm at. I'm far from you, but I understand I still need you. You see, the Old Testament took us like this and said, you're either in or you're out. I heard this old proverb where it says this Western man was asking, you're sitting on his farm, and he looked out onto his field, and he saw a man standing far away, and he said, hey, is that man in my land or is he outside my land? And there's an African proverb where The African man was sitting on his piece of land and asked a different question. He didn't ask the question whether that man, he looked off into the field and saw a man and said, is that man in my land or outside my land? He asked the question, is he walking towards me or is he walking away from me? You see, if he's outside your land but he's walking towards you, eventually he'll be where you are. But the Old Testament said, is he in or is he out? The New Testament says, which direction is he walking? So you could be far from God, but if you're walking towards Him, eventually He says, when you take a step, I take a step. When you draw, I draw. And that's when you actually encounter the living God. So no matter where you are tonight, first time in church in a very long time, first time in church ever, no matter what you're feeling tonight, how guilty and shameful, remember there's no guilt or condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Guilt says you're less worthy. Conviction says you're more worthy. Step up into the greater purposes of God. And so tonight we're going to kill the house lights. We're going to take it down. And I want to encourage you. All of heaven is behind your prayer tonight. All of heaven is behind your worship tonight. All of heaven is behind your promise tonight. All of heaven is behind God's goodness tonight. And He wants to pour it out if you'll say, here I am, dry land.
Thanks for listening to this week's View Church podcast.